That takes courage. She must have listened to the talk last week. Okay, laughter is a spiritual practice. Well, I was going to start out my talk. I told Rick, I said, I'm going to tell the turtle joke. And he said, you've already told the turtle joke. I said, yes, but I love the turtle joke. It makes me laugh every time. And I, of course, start laughing. And he started laughing. I said, see, you're laughing. He said, no, I'm laughing at you. So, given that, picture's worth a thousand words, so no turtle joke. Here we go. He's saying, so today at church, a guy in a suit tried to drown me. And I kid you not, my family just stood around taking pictures. Next. When people get mad and speed past you, and y'all end up at the same red light together, this is what you do. Good, you guys are good. Okay, I love this one. Here is a heartwarming picture of a little girl that saved a fish from drowning. I sat there this morning laughing so much. Okay, it's good for you. Poop, I'll tell you why. This is great. Even your coffee is surprised you woke up this morning. If you can't see it, the circle, like its mouth is like this. Okay. Next. Old people at weddings always poke me and say, you're next. So I started doing the same thing to them at funerals. That one's the best. That one's totally the best. Did you love it? So I started doing the same thing to them at funerals. That is too cool. Jordan, remember that. Laughter as a spiritual practice. Ernest Holmes says, always remember this life starts from within, outward, and never from out there with inward. You are the center of power in your own life. Just starting this morning with laughter tells us that. We're the ones in control. So let's think for a moment. I am the center of the power in my own life. Take that in. Breathe it in. I am the center of the power of my own life. Lighthearted laughter reminds us to live life with a sense of awe, a sense of wonder, and joy. And a good belly laugh always helps. Our whole body gets a kick out of a good chuckle. Didn't you feel it? Here's what happens when you laugh. Your heart and lungs are stimulated. Your heart beats faster and your blood pressure rises temporarily. Your breath deepens and oxygenates your blood. You didn't know that that was going on, did you? Your body releases endorphins, your own natural painkillers, and you produce more immune cells. That helps you heal. Finally, your diaphragm and your facial muscles and your internal organs all get bounced around as you laugh in what is sometimes called an internal jogging. So you can say to everybody today, I worked out today. I laughed. And Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. So imagine that. All those pictures you saw came off of Google Images. If you find yourself started going down a slippery slope, go to Google Images. It's there for you. It's for free. And Google funny pictures. I mean, I could have sat there all morning. Norman Cousins claimed that after years of prolonged pain, he was really sick and from a severe illness, and actually the doctors told him he only had a few weeks to live, to go home and make peace with his life. And he cured himself, and he did it with a self-invented regime of laughter and vitamins. And so what he did is he went to a hotel next door to the hospital, and he rented, at that time, rented movies, all the movies on comedy, and he laughed, and he laughed, and he laughed, and he cured himself. In his book, The Anatomy of an Illness, describes how watching comedic movies helped him recover. Think of that for a moment. By shifting our thinking, we shift our circumstance. This is how spiritual law works. Change your thinking, change your life. You hear me say that. But this is, this is a really good way to remember that when we start going down that slippery slope, is to catch ourselves. It's up to us to catch ourselves from going down to be in the story or victim. That victimhood. Because I don't know about you, but we all have a story. And some of our stories are worse than other people's stories. I can remember I used to tell my story over and over and over again. And I finally realized I am tired of this story. And so I said, I am not going to tell it again. And then I went into PRAC training because I took all the classes. I went into PRAC training. And the last paper you had to write in PRAC 1 was tell your story. I said, oh, no, not again. But that was the last time. Yes, I tell you some of my story because it's pertinent to you understanding that when we live from our story, we live from the history, from the past. It's up to each one of us where we choose to put our attention, on the story, on the laughter, or on the possibilities. We can spend our time engaged with the news, anybody? Fearful and frightened about good, about bad, about right, about wrong, about terrible, or we can change the story. We tell ourselves, this moment, right now, in my life, is really good. See, we've got to bring ourselves back from the events, from the circumstances that kind of catch us. In this moment, take a breath. Ah, I didn't even have to buy that air. It's free. And accept that this moment is really good. And the people I know are genuinely good people. People you know. And then say to yourself, you know, I'm blessed. Can you say that? I'm blessed. I am blessed. Good for you, Jordan. Say it loud. Say it again. I am blessed. I'm good people. Say that. I'm good people. I balance my life with laughter. Because that's what's important, in my opinion. I choose to tell a different story of hope and possibility. Because we know as we think, so shall it be. And I believe it's up to us to think that life is here to serve us. And we serve it by seeing the good and throwing more seed of good upon it. And letting it grow. And we start first here in our own backyard. All is well. Think about that. If I start my day with laughter, and I bless who I am, and I bless everyone that I meet, and I do so with an open and willing and loving heart, what is possible? When you finish vacuuming, you don't get mad at the dirt that you just collected, or do you? I don't dig in there to see what's possible in there. I just throw it away. Think about that. Changing how we think Changing how we treat others makes a big difference. It starts first with us. Getting mad clogs our arteries, closes down our immune system, and makes us old and wrinkled. Laughter, as a spiritual practice, lightens our load. So I'm going to close with a story of my own. It is to describe kind of what kind of mom I was. My son was a junior in high school, and his nickname was Skeeter. He got that right away. He was a big guy. And he was a junior in high school, and he was almost 6 feet tall. He wore a size 13 shoe. And he was he played on the football team, and he was a great football player. He was really good. And I learned to love football because I'd go watch him. Well, he came to me and he said, "Mom," he'd bring his practice gear home every day and I'd have to wash it. And he'd say, "Mom, you have to bring this to school," because I said, "Why?" He said, "It won't fit in my locker." And I said, "Really? It won't fit in your..." "No, it won't fit in my locker." Well, we lived out in the country. And so I'd have to go. I took both the boys to different schools, and I'd have to go to his school and then go back again and take his uniform and then go back again and pick him up. You know the routine, and then go get the younger one. And so I found myself, because we lived in the country, in the car all the time. So I thought about it, and I said, "You know, I don't have to get mad about this." I did it for about 3 times, and then I thought, I don't think everybody else's mother brings their gear to them. So I decided that I would put his gear on. So I put his shoulder pads on. I put his jersey on. I even put his helmet, but it didn't fit. I couldn't get in the car. Then I put it next to me, but I had to roll the window down because my shoulder was way outside the window. And I drove to school. And I knew the coach, Chan Castleberry. So I put the helmet on, and I go running up. And I said, "Hey, coach, I'm ready to play." Well, he about fell over laughing. He said, "Maggie, that's great." He said, "Come on in. Come on in to where they all get dressed." "Yeah, the locker room. Come on in with the locker room." And I'm going, you know, "Okay, coach, I'm ready, you know. Be sure and start me today." And all of a sudden I get close to the gym, and I said, "Coach, I don't think I should go in there." He said, "Oh, Maggie, you're probably right." So he called my son out. Later, my son said, "Mom, you're really lucky I'm big, because those guys gave me a real bad time." Change your thinking, change your life. There are other possibilities. There are other ways to respond. And guess what? I never had to take his clothes to school again. It was a miracle. His locker got really big. I was shocked. Okay? Expand your imagination. Expand your thinking. I guarantee you a life beyond your wildest dreams and memories that everybody can laugh at, especially you. Okay? Let's take it into prayer. So just take a breath. Because in this breath, we recognize that there is a power for good, and it's here to serve each and every one of us, not just one of us, but all of us, that we are each that unique, divine, beautiful expression of the one life and the one power. Ooh, how good it is to know this, how good it is to recognize it first within ourselves and then to recognize it in everyone else, that laughter and joy and celebration is a spiritual practice. Knowing and accepting that there is only one life and one power and one all-loving, all-nurturing essence. I call this God, the infinite, the divine, the beloved. By whatever name, there is only one life. And it is unique and it is divine and it is awesome. And it is the life that lives within me and lives within you. I recognize it. I accept it. I celebrate it. And I know that greater than what I can speak in words is already taking place in the mind of God. And where there is a need for a healing, I call forth that miracle-working power of God to renew, to strengthen each and every one of us in a fuller, richer way than ever before. And greater than my speaking here now is already taking place in the mind of God. And I trust this. I celebrate it. I recognize it. And so I just release this, my word, into that ever-loving, living law of God that always says yes. Returning to and through each and every one of us, multiplied, magnified, spilling over. We are truly full of it. And we laugh about it. And we spread the love. We let it be so. And if you're in agreement, please join me. And so it is. Amen.